Today we look at part one of outcome 4.4, which says, explain how Jesus' attitude towards children should change the church. At what age were you born again? When groups of people around the world are asked, how many of you were born again before you turned 18 years of age? The percentage who put up their hand is almost always the same, namely 80%. Try it with your group. So that means that the church has the greatest chance of success when preaching the gospel to children and teenagers rather than with adults, where statistically very few are born again. Now, I'm not saying that we should abandon our ministry to adults, not at all. But what I am saying is that we need to think carefully about giving much more attention to evangelizing children. In the history of the church in the last 2,000 years, the church has largely ignored children. Yes, we have our Sunday schools, youth groups, and perhaps a children's talk during the service in a few churches, but if we're honest, most of our efforts go towards adults. If you want confirmation of this, simply ask what percentage of your church's budget goes towards children's ministry. In addition, most of what we do with children is inside the walls of the church. Very little goes to reaching out to unsaved children outside the church. Jesus thought very differently. If we want to fully understand these verses, we must look at the context. In Matthew 17:22-23, Jesus tells the disciples that he will be killed and will rise again on the third day. As they were entering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were greatly distressed. The disciples were greatly distressed because Jesus was going to be killed. But just 5 verses later, we find them asking, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" In fact, Mark gives us even more information, because in Mark 9:33-37, we read, "And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you discussing on the way?' But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, 'If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all.' And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me.' To the disciples' complete amazement, Jesus called a little boy to him." Wes Stafford, in his excellent book, Too Small to Ignore, provides a wonderful description of this scene, which I have adapted for these notes. Can you hear the disciples thinking, "What does this boy have to do with the answer to our important question?" Nobody had even thought about the boy being there. To the disciples, he was just part of the scenery, the crowd, invisible, unimportant. Some people still have the attitude that children should be seen and not heard. The tragedy is that today they are often not only not heard, but also not seen. The Bible tells us that Jesus placed the child in their midst. Matthew 18:2. The effect of him standing there right in the middle of them before Jesus took him in his arms must have been dramatic. Remember, the question was, who is the greatest in the kingdom? They must have looked at him like no other child ever. What was Jesus trying to say? At last Jesus spoke, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The word "turn" here is the same one used by Peter on the day of Pentecost, when he confronted the crowd on their role in crucifying Jesus. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out." Stafford says that Jesus was not talking to the disciples about a small change. He was calling them to be radically transformed, changed completely from the inside out in order to be even a part of the kingdom, much less a leader. He was speaking of humility of heart and mind, a spirit that can be taught, a willingness to learn. The disciples at that moment were far from where they needed to be. A radical change was needed. Matthew 18:4 says, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." When Luke tells the story, he says, "For he who is least among you is the one who is great." Luke 9:48. Mark takes it even further in Mark 9:37, "And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." In other words, anyone who receives a child in Jesus' name is actually receiving God himself. Wow. What does that mean for the church today? Now, I'm sure that the disciples were speechless and amazed at Jesus' words. We would hope that from this moment on, the disciples would have a great new respect and appreciation for children, that their future theology would place children at the center of the work of the church. A new priority for programs, budgets, and strategies should have been established at that moment. The words of Jesus could not have been clearer. How amazing that they could have forgotten all this within just a few days. How amazing that the church could also forget for the next 2,000 years. But Jesus was not finished yet, and next week we will see what he did next.